Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
One and HD2 Kansas City in Odyssey Sports Station.
Welcome into Cody and Gold on a Victory Monday. Cody Tapp with you. James Howell on the other side of the glass with us. Got a full show planned for you today, 10:30. Our VNFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, will join us a day early so he doesn't have to join us on Christmas Eve. At 11 o'clock, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, will join us to talk all things Kansas City Chiefs. And then from noon to 2, old friend Steven Serta. He's got his own Chiefs venture. He will join us in studio live for 2 hours. That'll be the case. James, I don't know that I've ever, I'll be honest, I don't think we've ever worked directly with each other. Just like in the same vicinity? Have we ever done a show together?
No, I think this is the first time we've got the opportunity to do a show together. I was pretty excited about it.
Okay. Well, I'm excited too. I haven't done a show with you. I'm sure it'll go great.
I've worked with Alex. He's a pleasure, but I haven't got to work with the legendary Cody Tapp.
Wow. quite the selling point, at least on my end. We appreciate James coming in. We know it's a holiday week. We know some of you are listening from home versus your workplace. We know some of you are driving around because you didn't buy your Christmas presents yet and you're trying to purchase them ahead of time. I'll be careful in case you've got your kids in the car of what I say or don't say on the air today, at least on that case. So yeah, we'll work on it. We'll get there and then we'll figure out from there where we kind of head in this direction. So yeah, 913-586-7965 is the text line. I know we got a little audio stuff on the video stream. I'll work on that in the break. James is new to it, so I'll try to solve that problem in a little bit. But for those who want to listen, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, we usually live stream the show. Work on that audio as well on that end. But let's talk about what the Chiefs did on Saturday and what they're going to have to do 2 more days from now against the Steelers. The one thing that stood out to me in postgame, and there was plenty of good audio, and that was not the case, plenty of good audio. The one thing that obviously stood out to all of us was when Andy Reid had said what I think we all knew, which was, this was the best game of the year for the Chiefs. So I guess the question would be, is it? Is it the best game of the year for the Chiefs? Was it the best game of the year for the Chiefs? And can they repeat it on short rest against the Steelers on Christmas Day 2 days from now? The short answer is yes. This is the best, most competent 2-game stretch this team has played the entire year. Even when they had Rashee Rice and had other people there and constantly working through those things, I'll be honest, this was the most complete game they've played. Could they have scored a few more points? Yeah, sure, I guess. Was the game ever really in question? No. The Texans are a playoff football team. C.J. Stroud made a tremendous pass to Tank Dell. Was the last time the game was close. Unfortunately for him, he got a serious injury in that play, and I felt terrible for him. But, you know, outside of that, this was a complete game. They held the Texans, a decent offense, to 19 points. They offensively moved the ball with success. Hollywood Brown was involved. Xavier Worthy was involved. Travis Kelce was involved, so they were balanced. The only complaint I think you could make is maybe Pacheco wasn't effective in the time in which he was playing. That's maybe the most you could complain about out of this entire unit. If you were nitpicking the game in the smallest conceivable area, it would be that. And even weirder than that, I need someone with a medical science degree, a doctorate even, not a philosophy, like an actual physical doctor. I'm not knocking your doctor of philosophy or if you're a dentist, but what I need is an actual doctor to explain to me how Patrick Mahomes plays better with a high ankle sprain than without one. Because at some point, that makes no sense. Every single game in which he enters the game with a high ankle sprain, somehow he's better, magically, than he was playing in the weeks before. I don't know if it's just it fixes his footwork because he can't move the same, or if it's just he's more focused because he knows he has to be, or because a lot of times those high ankle sprains have been coming in the playoffs where we know he brings his game up to another level. But that's the other part of it. Is it part of the reason it's their best game of the year is for back-to-back games, there was no sweat in the fourth quarter. The game was in hand, in the Chiefs' possession. The Texans couldn't come get you. The one time in the fourth quarter that the Texans had another chance to say, go down the field, make a game of it, make it interesting, the defense held them to a three and out. So, like, immediately forced the Texans to give up the ball. From the 913, I don't know if this is from a doctor. Someone just says, it's the drugs, man. You just feel a lot better on the ankle. Well, it's just like, keep him focused. I don't think they're giving him Adderall. Like, I don't think it's working like that. But I'm telling you, there's something about Patrick Mahomes on a high ankle sprain that's just simply better. But yeah, I mean, I think if you look at this stretch, it goes back to the same thing that we said about the Chiefs before. If I were the rest of the AFC, I'd be sick to my stomach that I had to watch the Chiefs stumble over themselves, oopsie accident into some wins, block field goals, get late game plays, survive, in all fairness, for a team that instead of 14-1, reasonably should probably be a 12-win team right now, a 13-win team right now. They should have given up one of those games that were close. But you didn't get them, and now they're locked in. Now for back-to-back games, they've controlled every single second of the action. In a stretch in which they can clinch the number one seed by simply just winning against the Steelers on Wednesday, or over the weekend, the Bills losing a game to the Jets, who I thought were playing better football, and then I watched them against the Rams, and I might have changed my opinion on that, but I thought they were playing better football going into that game. But, I mean, you had all season to try to, like, play catch-up on them. And the Ravens, you know, they're playing better football. Or the Bills seemingly are, like, falling back a little bit and coming to earth. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are just locking in. And if they win this week, they win 2 days from now on Wednesday, they'll have the number one seed. And from December 25th until January 12th, they will not even be January 11th, at the earliest, mind you. They will not even be required to play meaningful football. So, really, and that's if they're the number one seed, actually, sorry, it'll be after. January 11th, I think, is the opening round of the wild card weekend. So, it'll be the weekend after that. So, I mean, they will be under no obligation to play meaningful football, which means rest. Does anybody remember what Travis Kelce looked like in the postseason when he just got a couple weeks off? Chris Jones just got a calf strain. You think he couldn't use a couple weeks after talking about how a late bye week needs to be for teams who are asked to do a schedule like this? They're now playing organized, competent football, and they will get the benefit of a tremendous amount of rest. You're screwed. The rest of the league is screwed. That's just how it works. From the 785, a doctor of philosophy probably would give you a better answer on Mahomes and the injuries than a doctor of medicine could. Theory is important. It's not all empirical evidence. You know what? I take it back, 785. That's a fair point. I will take all doctors, no matter your discipline. I don't care if you got a doctorate in mathematics or communication. You got something? You got DR in front of your name? I'll take your advice for how. I just need you to be at least that smart. How it is that Patrick Mahomes plays better on a high ankle sprain than he plays without it. Because I borderline, like, we've, James, over the years, we've nixed topics, right? Where it's just like, we won't let you bring up Justin Ross on the show. Sure. Or Gold said he won't talk about Cincinnati until they're at least a 500 football team, right?
Right.
Reasonable things sure. that we have brought up on this show before. Cincinnati's barreling towards that, funny enough. I might have to just say high ankle sprains don't matter. Like, do they?
It's truly a phenomenon that needs to be studied. I don't know how it happens and how he pulls through every single time, but he like you were just saying, he seems to play better when he's injured.
It doesn't make sense. It shouldn't make sense. And yet, that's the case. Someone says he can't overthink when his ankle hurts. From the 913. He's just, you know, he's like, he's thinking about the ankle so much, he's not thinking about the pass. He's just reacting. It's not a terrible theory. Look, there's something going on. I don't know what it is. It's just hard to imagine at this point. Like, I have a hard time making the argument that it matters when he has him. Like, that we need to report it as news. How's he look? If he's practicing, it's fine. His ankle, you know, like, does it hurt? Probably. Does he have to go through a bunch of painful rehab and it kind of probably sucks for his everyday? I assume so. Does it impact his play in any conceivable way? No. But I was going back to, like, because I think it's longer than the last two games. That was their best game. There's no doubt. But I think what we're talking about as it relates to this team is, like, I think it goes further back than that. I think right after the Bills game, and really in parts some of the things they did in the Bills game, this team found a rhythm and an identity that has worked for them. And part of why they have been able to maintain winning, even though at times this team has seemed frustrating, is the lack of turnovers. Patrick Mahomes threw 9 interceptions in his first 7 games. He has thrown 2 in his last 8. Those were in the same game, mind you, which means in 7 of his last 8 games, he has been turnover free. Like, if the Chiefs don't give you the ball, then what chances do you realistically have in order to stop them from scoring regularly or completing those things? It doesn't make sense. Like, if they're not going to give you the ball, then you're not going to get there. And it's a huge key to their winning right now. What's funny is, before, this used to be something that would happen more in the postseason. It was like the switch of the flip, or the flip of the switch, right? Where somebody would say, all right, we're not turning the ball over anymore, and they just stop, seemingly. But now they've stopped in the regular season. He was throwing nothing but interceptions. Then he had to take sacks for a while in order to not throw interceptions. Now he's not being sacked quite as much. He's still getting pressured plenty. And he's not throwing interceptions. It's the best of both worlds. If they're not going to turn the ball over, well, then the Chiefs are going to be in great shape. I'll take your thoughts all day on the text on 913-586-7965. From the 913, Pacheco should be the backup, and Hunt should get 2 carries a game. Pacheco has no pop. I don't agree with that, and we will get to the Pacheco stuff a little bit later in the show. I think using Pacheco, there's nothing wrong with that. I think using Pacheco as the starter, there's nothing wrong with that. I think there's some situations in which they're still using Isaiah Pacheco that are wrong. It's not his usage. It's not that he's being used at all. It is that there are times in which he is being used in a spot that they should be using other running backs. We'll get to that in about 15 minutes or so. Coming up in about 15 minutes as well, Vinny Pasquantino, our VNFL insider, will get his power rankings going into the new week. See where he's got maybe the Vikings moved up his list. Packers play tonight, so he can't really change his opinion on those just yet. But we'll get his opinions on it. We'll get his, I'm actually sending him a text now. He wanted a reminder, James, so that he didn't forget to come on. I guess I could have had you send it, but I am now sending and sent. He's been warned. But I want to talk about one player in particular who stood out in this offensive effort. I think it's kind of undeniable that when we watched the game Saturday night, that Hollywood Brown had an instant impact on the offense. Do we think it's an accident that Hollywood Brown played some football for the first time and the Chiefs' offense looked functional and competent? And for a player who had not played at all this season to have an instant connection with Patrick Mahomes, I know they had training camp. I understand. I know that they had, I'm sure, some practice reps. Hell, they got that one preseason throw before he got hurt. To have had no snaps at all during the regular season into that game, and to come in, get 8 targets, have 5 catches, get 45 yards. In a lot of ways, I had told you last week, Xavier Worthy was the Chiefs' best wide receiver because of his ability to separate. And DeAndre Hopkins does some things that Xavier Worthy simply can't do. But if you're just talking about overall ability to impact the game, that I thought Worthy was having a bigger impact, Hollywood might have skipped him in a single game. In one game, Hollywood Brown immediately looked like the most important wide receiver weapon on the unit, which starts to phrase up what went from the worst wide receiver unit in football last year to a mediocre to bad wide receiver unit after Rashee Rice went down before Hopkins showed up, to Hopkins shows up, shows immediate ability, Xavier Worthy develops, as is expected to be the case, and now they add back in Hollywood Brown into what now might be one of the five best receiver units in the NFL? I mean, is that, that doesn't seem completely out of line anymore, does it? They got a qualified former one, but still like a good wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, sure, a young rookie with endless potential in Xavier Worthy, and another good veteran in Hollywood Brown, who immediately looked like he had comfort.
Yeah, 100%. The addition to DeAndre Hopkins, I think, really accelerated Xavier Worthy's progression this year. And now that he's turned into an actual playmaker, yeah, they found a role for him. We've got Hollywood Brown. And, you know, even like Juju Smith-Schuster, who has contributed. He hasn't been a huge playmaker, but he's contributed.
But if he's your fourth, then you're doing okay.
Yeah, you're doing great. It's absolutely insane to me how fast this wide receiver group has turned it around.
Like, look at the mix. And I know Samaje Perine had a good game as well out of the backfield. But Xavier Worthy, who now leads this team in targets over the last 5 weeks. I know that's surprising, but he leads the team in targets at wide receiver the last 5 weeks. He's on a run that would equate to like a 950-yard season if played out over 17 games since Buffalo. So, like, he has grown exponentially over that time. Matter of fact, I was typing up a tweet in the middle of the game about Worthy, which we can talk about in a minute, like Worthy himself. I was typing up a tweet about Xavier Worthy, and I was like, all right, at this pace, he would do this. And I was typing, even if he doesn't make another catch. He didn't make another catch. And so I started editing the numbers, and then he made another catch. And I was like, okay, I'll just edit the numbers. So I edit the, he makes catch. I edit him. I send out the tweet, and then he catches the touchdown. And you're like, okay, I could have just waited till after this drive. And it probably would have worked better than what I was attempting to send out, because I wasn't sure he was going to continue to get every single catch on this drive. 7 catches for 65 yards and a touchdown for him. 5 catches for 45 yards for Hollywood Brown. 4 catches for 37 yards for DeAndre Hopkins, including a couple of first down snags. Travis Kelce also had 5 for 30. So they had 4 players with 4 or more catches in the game and 5 with 3 or more. Like, I mean, they're balanced. Like, we talk all the time. This is what's happening with the wide receiver unit is what we pretended was going to happen at the beginning of last season. If you remember the training camp conversation, like, how are you going to guard him? Who's going to go where? They're going to have to guard this guy and that guy. And you're not going to know where the ball is going. It could go to Sky or Tony. Darker times and foolish in retrospect. But what we were talking about then is what is actually happening with the offense now. You don't know who to guard. So on third down, we're taking out Travis Kelce. Okay. We'll just throw it to DeAndre Hopkins, one of the all-time great third-down wide receivers. We're taking him away, too. Then I guess I'll throw it to Hollywood Brown or Xavier Worthy, two of the fastest people on the field. Oh, no. And in that case, that's why I think Samaje Perine was open so much. Like, why did Samaje Perine have his best game of the season, 3 for 50? They're busy downfield with literally everybody else.
Yeah.
And, so, like, that's what was so encouraging about this game, is that at the beginning of the season, I thought the Chiefs had a really good wide receiver unit. They lost Rashee Rice, and we went weeks before DeAndre Hopkins showed up, and you're like, oh my God, they're going to go through this exact same problem again, in which there's nobody to throw the football to, and we're just going to run into this issue over and over and over again. And instead, what happened was that we were gifted with everybody is available. So, like, Worthy and Hollywood and DeAndre Hopkins and Travis Kelce and Noah Gray's been a good weapon, although he got dinged up in that game. Like Justin Watson and Juju Smith-Schuster didn't even have a catch. Watson got close on one, but they didn't even have a catch. But if they're 4 or 5 or 6, like in the receiver unit, including Travis Kelce, they're 5. If Juju Smith-Schuster's your 5, okay, he'd have been the 1 on this team last year. This is a dramatic improvement. And yeah, despite the fact I would rather have Rashee Rice than having gone through this, now that you've added Hopkins and Hollywood Brown is back, all of those weeks that Xavier Worthy got to get comfortable with Patrick Mahomes, that's the difference. And I told you going into the game, and I had said it 2 weeks ago before Hollywood Brown came back, Xavier Worthy for 3 weeks has been running Rashee Rice routes, And now that Hollywood Brown is back, it's going to make a big difference. I was just impressed at how quickly Hollywood Brown looked the part. Like, that was the part that actually surprised me, is that he immediately had comfort with Patrick Mahomes, and they gave them enough time and space in order to operate to complete what was their best game of the season. So very impressed by the Chiefs. We'll talk more about Xavier Worthy alone here in just a minute. But yeah, Hollywood Brown, instant impact guy across the board. This is why I want to get something out of the way. Coming up in 10 minutes, Vinny Pasquantino will join us. We'll talk to him about all things NFL. I said this a couple weeks ago when Odell Beckham became a free agent, so I'm surprised that I have to come on the airway and say this again. The Chiefs are 14-1. They have the best record in the AFC, and they are either one win or one Bills loss away from being the number one seed again in the NFL playoffs. So when I say this, it comes from the heart, because I had to tell 10 people via text this would be an unnecessary move that could only have negative upside, in my opinion. No, the Chiefs do not need Deontay Johnson. Okay? Like, I say that this is like the heart-to-heart. You have to have those, like, family members around Christmas sometimes. No. Okay? I'm just telling you. No. I also wanted him months ago. He does still possess talent. But did we not just see what I just told you about everything else that happened in that game? It's unnecessary. You do not have to do this to yourself. And so, just please keep that in mind when we start talking about wide receiver. I like the look on your face, James. I said, and you're like, oh, God. Do you know how many people sent me a text being like, should they claim Deontay Johnson? I'm like, no. Now, this was before the game, granted. Those voices got a little quieter once they saw Hollywood Brown operate. And I get it. You're thinking, well, what if he ends up on a different contending team? Well, I'll be honest. The Steelers didn't seem real worried about that.
No.
He quit on his team.
Well, he was just signed with the Ravens, and it wasn't there like character issues or
yes.
or something.
Well, I mean, the Steelers cut him in the middle of they traded for him and they cut him in the middle of a playoff run in which they're fighting for their division. So, I mean,
I'm just 100% not interested in Deontay Johnson at all. He might have had some talent and might have had some athletic ability once upon a time, but that just doesn't outweigh the potential problems that he could cause within the locker room.
Yeah, it's not worth it. And also, you don't need him. What would be the point? Like, to bring him, like, I mean, who's he getting snaps over? You want him to get snaps over Worthy or Hollywood or Hopkins or Gray or Kelton? No, I don't, like, so I guess he'd be getting Justin Watson snaps? Fine.
Yeah, I don't even want him getting snaps over Juju.
Like, if he took away the, like, one deep route Justin Watson ran, okay.
Yeah, maybe.
But, like, I mean, even then, what are we talking about? An inconsequential number of targets for a player who was on a playoff team vying for a division win, who has real Super Bowl aspirations, and a quarterback having another tremendous year. He wouldn't even play for that team. Like, at least I get it when the players quit on teams that stink. Like, I understand when you're like, man, I don't want to play for this team anymore. It's no fun. They're awful. I don't want to be on the field. At least that makes some sense. I still think you should play, and, you know, they shouldn't have an excuse for that, but come on. Don't do this to yourselves, Chiefs fans. You don't have to live like this. You don't have to live how the other half lives, where you just, like, beg that Deontay Johnson will solve your problems. I don't know who that team is, but I hope it's on the NFC side. I still don't think he's much of a threat, but we'll see which version of Deontay Johnson they get, because I felt like I needed to say that for this week just so people are prepared. Because I was told Christmas Adam, is that the appropriate term for Christmas Eve Eve? I mean, we don't just call it Christmas Eve Eve. Someone on social told me Christmas Adam is apparently what they call it.
I've never heard that. I kind of like it.
This is Christmas Adam, tomorrow's Christmas Eve?
Yeah, I kind of like it.
It's not bad. But I like the Eve Eve because then I can stack it as much as I want.
Right.
Right. If I can say Eve 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 if I'm on Sunday or Eve, you know, like maybe not more than four or five, but yeah. I can, you know,
sure.
I can stack them a little bit. There's no way I'm down to two if I put it the other way.
Sure. Yeah.
I gotta consider my options here. Do you get to stay in town for Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna stay in town and have a little Christmas gathering with the family.
I, for the first year, I'm gonna host my family for Christmas. So. See how that goes.
Nice.
Normally, other people host it.
Yeah. It's a chore.
Yeah, it is. I've made my choice.
Yeah.
I also made my choice because now I'm like, I was going to cook the meat myself.
Mm-hmm. What kind of meat are you going with? Ham?
Okay, so we did ham a lot as kids, but like a ham's good. There's nothing wrong with it. Sure. But the Copper Pig, which is a local barbecue place, does like catering and stuff.
Mm.
They said, no, don't do that. Just pay someone to do it. And so they're making me a brisket and a turkey.
Mm.
I said, like a smoked brisket and a smoked turkey. And I'm like, this is the move.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes something we forget as people is our time has value. And I don't know how much time it would have taken me to like perfect smoking a brisket in my house when I had not done it before, not smoked a brisket.
So right.
Copper Pig makes it instead. Doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah, and, you know, smoking meat is not necessarily a skill that you could just pick up.
I mean, I can cook in all those things. Like, I can use a grill, but I don't have, like, a Traeger. I can't just, like...
Sure.
You know. I can't just make it like that. So either I'm borrowing a device for, you know, either I'm borrowing someone's Traeger just to do this, or I'm doing it in a electric, or I'm doing it in the oven.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, I was going to have to spend so much time like trying to make sure that it was right. And it was just going to be a mess. Someone says from the 903, who the hell is working with you today? His name is James. He is a part-timer. He's doing a great job over there. No Drew today. He is going back to see his family. Alex is off for the rest of the week. So you got me today. And coming up next, our VNFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. He'll join us. We'll talk all things NFL with him next.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Back in here on Cody and Gold. Cody Tapp with you. James Howell on the other side of the glass filling in for Drew. Just me today here on December 23rd, Christmas week. Chiefs win on Saturday. We'll be back in action on Sunday. And joining us a day early, our VNFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, so we can cover all things NFL with Vinny. Vinny, how are you doing? How's your holiday week so far?
So far, so good.
Are you a big Christmas guy? Time.
Yeah, I guess. I don't have an issue with Christmas.
That doesn't sound like a big Christmas guy. That just sounds like you're indifferent towards it.
Yeah, it's cold. I don't love the cold. So, you know, it's good. Like, I like the time with family, so that's cool.
Okay, that's good. Do you go out of town, or you guys stay in town?
Staying in town. I'm hosting for the first time ever this year. I have to make a ham for Wednesday. So, wish me luck, please.
Have you done research on it?
Not yet. No, I have the ham, but I have not done any research. Apparently, it's a pre-cooked ham, so I think I only need to heat it up. But we'll see. I gotta do some research on it. I'll probably start that tomorrow. And see where I'm at.
Probably it's like scouting reports, Vinny. You know, you gotta get on those a little bit early so you know who you're getting ready to face.
Yeah, well, that's true. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited for the opportunity.
Let's talk Chiefs first, Vinny, since they won against the Texans on Saturday. Andy Reid said that he thought it was the best game they've played all year, the most complete game they've played all year. Should the rest of the AFC be worried that the Chiefs are once again getting right at the right time?
If the rest of the teams in the AFC weren't worried about that, there's something wrong with them anyway. So they should be no more worried than they were last week, but they should have been very worried last week. So, they should be worried. And they win one more game and they secure the one seed, which will be huge. So, yeah, every team should be very worried about the best team in the league.
I mean, I get it. But also, like, I think a lot of times because you just kind of, like, put it away, you're like, eh. You know what? Maybe they're just not playing well, which is 14-1 anyway. Like, the Chiefs are 10-1, but they're not playing right when they're the 2-time defending Super Bowl champions, I guess.
Yeah, it's like you just need stuff to talk about either on radio or on TV. That's all it is. It's just trying to build a narrative. They're kind of boring, not in a bad way, but just they just win games. They just win tough games and move on, win the next one.
No, I was going to say, do you worry any more about, like, so, like, let's look at their competition a little bit. Let's say the Bills. Bills didn't play very well against the Patriots. Are you one of those, and you play enough AL Central games, you probably know, division games don't get counted the same as far as ugliness goes?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you're going to ask me for my power rankings, and
yeah,
there's a few teams that played tough divisional games this weekend. I mean, the Eagles, right?
Yeah.
The Lions end up, you know, doing a nice job against the Bears, but then the Patriots do pretty good against the Bills. Like, you look at the Chiefs division games, right? One-score game against the Broncos. They win on the blocked field goal. The Chargers missed the kick, and even the Raiders are playing them kind of tough. So it's like, division games are just different. You know the teams, like Lamar Jackson with the Steelers, like, has a tough time with them. They see him twice a year. You can game plan for a guy you see a lot more. So, yeah, I do think it's division games not necessarily be thrown out, but they do get judged a little bit differently, because when you know your opponent a little bit more, those games are always going to be tougher.
I'll ask you for the power rankings in a minute, but like when you look at the Bills, you still think they're the second best team in the AFC?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't think much is going to change this week, because pretty much all the teams won. I mean, the Eagles lost, but I'm not really going to move them too far either.
I mean, so, Jalen Hurts didn't play for three quarters of that game too.
Right. And it's just, yeah, they lose by three to a playoff team, and they're a division team, and you lose your quarterback in the first, like, everything changes. I think the Bills are the second best team in the AFC. You just kind of look around at the quarterbacks, and like, you got the second best quarterback on that team. So their team's good. They give up too many points, but they can outscore you. So they got a shot.
The Ravens defense, I think, is like one of the things, like you mentioned, score too many points. They're one of the league's worst defenses for like 10 or 11 weeks. And they've been one of the better ones over the last month. I can't figure out, because like, Lamar Jackson's obviously an MVP winning quarterback, Vinny. So I know he's good. I'm not denying that, but like, I don't know how serious to take them when they're in a dogfight for their own division. I feel like if they're a wild card team, I just don't think they can win three straight games.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird. They go up and down. Like, they don't seem like they're the most consistent team. Like, one week Derrick Henry will have 170, and then the next week he'll carry the ball 10 times. Like, it's almost like they're trying to figure out who they are, which is a tough spot to be in when you're facing teams like the Chiefs, like the Bills, who know exactly who they are. I know that they, you know, kicked the crap out of the Bills earlier this year.
But way earlier. That's a different season ago.
Yeah, it just feels like this is normally the time of the year where Derrick Henry gets better after the bye when it gets colder. And I know he had a good game the other night, but I look at last week and I'm just like, why is that guy not getting the ball 25 times a game? And I get that you have an MVP quarterback on your team, but you don't have like an all-star caliber, like multiple wide receivers and everything like that. And you know, some teams don't either. Like, you look at the Chiefs, they don't necessarily have that as well, and they just keep doing it. So I just think they're too inconsistent, and we'll see what happens comes playoff times.
Like, like the Ravens, they would have had a better receiver unit if Deontay Johnson had worked out. Like, I'm always confused, and on an athlete, it's just like, I won't go in. I'm not going to do that. Have you, at any level of professional sports, experienced a player that was like, no thanks, I'm good here?
No. Maybe like in certain cases, but not like anything to that extreme. Obviously you never know what's going on inside a locker room, so it's hard to speak from the outside looking into a locker room. But I think like in the 49ers situation with
Sweat or
with
whatever
Campbell,
yeah.
They were all very upset about it. Like, I haven't heard the outrage of like Ravens players the same way I've heard of 49ers players, because that was like a nationally televised game, like standalone game. But it's crazy, you know, like, this is kind of what you work your whole life to do. And I get you feel disrespected, different things like that. We all feel disrespected at some point. I've never met an athlete who doesn't feel like the organization that they're in has screwed them over at some point. So it's just like, it's just hard to speak on it because you don't really know what's going on. But yeah, like, it's a bad, bad look, especially when you're trying to get jobs the next year. Like, well, you quit on your team. How am I supposed to trust you if you just quit on your team? Because most guys will give anything to be out there on the field. So to see guys that clearly don't feel the same way is definitely interesting.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Like, the inside stuff makes it a challenge, because they must have liked him okay if they're not, I guess, just completely burying the guy on the street versus like the other end of the version. But like, they had a whole plan at wide receiver. And even despite that, Lamar Jackson's been really good. It's like the AFC, it's always been Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, in my opinion, and no other teams jumped up in there. But it's like the Ravens, like, part of their plan failed. So, like, I have a harder time putting them in the same range as the Bills and the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, they just, at least my entire life, they've always been known as, like, a team that does things organizationally very well. And mm-hmm. This past, like, year has been weird with that. Like, it just doesn't seem like things are going as well as they used to go in Baltimore. And I think sometimes that might be pressure from the teams that are above you. You're trying to do different things to, sometimes you get a little out of character when you're chasing teams down instead of them chasing you. And you know, they made a few, not necessarily bad decisions, but they've made some decisions that have hurt their team. And it's going to be tough for them to win it all this year because of that, in my opinion.
It sounds like, Vinny, you believe in the age-old idiom used in sports, which is, we got to worry about ourselves, not what the other people are doing.
Yeah, I 100% believe in that because as soon as you start worrying about somebody else, then you start trying to do what they're doing, but you're not inside that building, so you don't really know what they're doing. You're just kind of chasing that, what they're doing, and you don't know what it is.
So you're saying, so, you don't try to every day be Bobby Wood Jr.?
That is correct. If I tried to do that, I would be in a bad spot. I just try to be myself.
I just like the idea of, you're like, no, I'm stretching doubles into triples now and singles into doubles. Like that's step one.
I'm just going to start doing that. Well, I tell you, that's how, in my mind, that's how analytics has kind of ruined sports, is because it's becoming more cookie cutter. Like, okay, I know what it takes to be valuable. I'm just going to try to do that instead of getting on base at a 400 clip, which that's super valuable, obviously. Right. But I'm just going to try to slug because slug's all that matters. OPS is all that matters. So I'm just going to try to get my slug up as much as humanly possible, because they're basically saying, well, batting average doesn't matter if you hit a bunch of home runs. It's the same thing that's going on in the NBA, right? Three's more valuable than two. So instead of playing like real basketball, let's just shoot threes because we're really good at making them.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm done.
I actually kind of like, because I'm going to ask you, because baseball keeps tinkering with that stuff. I didn't know how you felt about the golden bat rule.
If I'm being completely honest, I think that's a negotiating tactic for a fight that's coming in 2 years. But that will never happen.
Little bite of cheese to try to work through the other stuff?
In my opinion, I don't have any evidence of that being the case, but that's a fundamentally changing the game. The game that's built on stats alone, we're just going to add a new at bat, and like that, there's no way. There's no way. I get that, and maybe it does happen. I don't know. I just think it would be crazy. It would be absolutely crazy to just change the game completely, like on its face. Like, we're just going to do something that's not even close to the rules of the game. We're just going to do it.
One more regular football question, then we'll get to your power rankings, Vinny. The Cincinnati Bengals, they technically still have a chance to make the postseason. They have to win their last two games. They need Miami to lose one of two, and they need the Colts to lose one of two. If Cincinnati gets in, are they dangerous?
I guess, because they can score 50 points, but if they score 50, they're probably giving up 70. Like, are they dangerous? Yes, because they can beat you in a one game. But I think they're one of those teams that, like, sure, they can win one, but they're not going to run off four in a row. Like, that's not going to happen. I think we're, like, if you were to ask me if it's going to be Chiefs-Bills in the AFC Championship or the field, I'm taking Chiefs-Bills. I just think those two teams are kind of head and shoulders above everybody else. Now, they could lose any given Sunday, right? But I just don't think it's going to happen.
All right, James, I'm going to play a little NFL music here for Vinny as he gives us his official power rankings. All right, who's your 1-5 this week, Vinny? Chiefs are at the top. I can assume that.
Yeah, Chiefs are at the top. I think I moved the Bills up and the Eagles down one, right? That's what, the Eagles were two?
The Eagles were two. So the Bills up to two, Eagles at three?
Bills up to two, Lions up to three, Eagles to four, because we don't know their quarterback situation. I know that the Lions, like, every single player of theirs is on injured reserve, but they keep finding ways to win. So that's good. And then at five, I'm going to move the Vikings up to five this week because the Packers haven't played yet. But if the Packers win and look good tonight, they're five and the Vikings are six.
Okay, so you'll still give the Packers the edge like last week. If they win tonight against New Orleans, a team they obviously should beat. They lose tonight, they deserve to fall in your rankings, in fairness.
Yeah, if they lose tonight, they're going to fall to like eight. But if they win tonight, and like if it's not, I mean, I know that the Vikings beat the Seahawks by three, but tough environment, road game. I think the Packers are at home tonight, right? Or are they on the road?
Home. It's supposed to snow at Lambeau. So if you just want to feel like Christmas week, throw in a little football snow at Lambeau.
I have no evidence of this, but just in my mind, the last time the Saints played in Lambeau, didn't Alvin Kamara score six touchdowns?
Oh. I mean, he did have a six touchdown game at Lambeau.
I think that may have been the last time they were there, but I don't know.
You saying I should have? I don't have Kamara in a fantasy football league.
No,
that was 2020. So, I mean, very well could have been. Yeah.
Could have been.
I'm going to rule it out. Or maybe it was, I don't know. Maybe it was Minnesota. I don't know.
So, yeah, those are my power rankings this week.
Okay. Those are Vinny's power rankings. We got his 1-5. We'll get him out. You guys can give your own opinions. There's always some smart ass, by the way, on social that's like, I can't believe this guy even has
later this afternoon. I'll post them on my Twitter again, and we'll see how it goes. But I'm playing golf. I'm playing golf at 11:30. Then I'll be home. Then I'll have access to my Twitter account.
Are you good at golf?
No, not at all. And I'm not even going to sit here and be like, oh yeah, I'm okay. No, like I'm bad at golf, but I like being there. I like being outside.
Okay. Like shooting 120 or like, I mean, what are we not keeping like score?
In the 90s.
Oh, okay. That's not that bad.
If I get hot, I'll be in the high 80s, but typically in the 90s.
Dude, that actually makes you like better than most people probably who play golf.
Yeah, well, I can hit the ball far, which helps. And my best part of my game is chipping and putting. So if I can get up there and if I can get within 120 yards, like I'll have a good hole. But if I'm 200 yards out after the drive, I'm screwed.
All right, Vinny, before I let you go, I want to ask you one more question since it's Christmas week. I gave you a power rankings of this. Can I get a 1-2 power rankings of Christmas movies? Just the number one and number two all-time Christmas movies.
Sure. I like The Grinch, and I like Home Alone.
The original Grinch?
All of them. I like the animated one. Oh. I like the Jim Carrey one. Maybe those are the only two.
Okay. I was like, well, there's like a bunch of Grinch movies. There's several animated ones. But if you're just talking the original.
Yeah, sure, the original. I'm not the most educated on Christmas movies, but I'm going to go with those two.
Vinny, we always appreciate the time. Enjoy the holiday week. Good luck at golf, and we'll talk to you, if not next week, the week after. We'll find some time here soon.
Thanks, Cody.
That's Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider and Christmas movie. Not connoisseur, it sounds like. I'll be honest. Doesn't sound like he's big on that. James, what do you have? Just the Grinch? He said he liked the Jim Carrey Grinch. That's a hot topic. A lot of people think that one's trash.
Yeah, it's all right. I would go with the original. My all-time favorite Christmas movie, though, I'd have to say it's Die Hard.
Die Hard, huh?
And yes, it's a Christmas movie.
You're just gonna open up that door today, huh?
Oh yeah.
I mean, it takes place at Christmas. So I mean, I can't argue with that. Also, like, if you want to call it a Christmas movie, I don't. You know, not you, just in general. I don't care. You know, who am I here to argue, right? Like, yeah, enjoy your life. It's a Christmas movie. You know, like, what? That's one thing I try actively not to do, which is tell people things they can't enjoy. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
You want to call it a Christmas movie? Kudos. I'm not here to argue on the other end. How about Vinny saying I'm not good at golf? I shoot in the 90s most of the time. You know, the 80s sometimes. Do you know how few people score in the 80s in golf?
I mean, I shoot in the 110s.
Yeah, I don't shoot in the 80s. I have shot a score in the 80s.
Yeah.
But, like, twice. Yeah. And look, I'm not claiming to be good at golf either. I'm just saying, like, Vinny's not, you know, not an island there.
Well, the guy's
a pretty good score.
Naturally athletic.
Yeah. And Kamara, by the way, they're saying is not projected to play, but tonight.
Yeah, he's not going to play tonight. I have him on one of my fantasy leagues.
Now people are saying Trading Places is a Christmas movie. Gremlins is a Christmas. These all take place at Christmas. That's when the gift is. If Die Hard counts, they all count.
They have to count.
I will say. Although my kids and I are not going to sit around tonight and watch Gremlins. Right?
Yeah.
Like, they probably won't watch Die Hard either. But
sure,
we're not going to sit around and watch Gremlins tonight. That's for sure. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to all things Chiefs with Nate Taylor of The Athletic. He'll join us, thanks to Mark Ferguson, in just a few moments. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the college football playoff over the weekend. The final eight are decided. There were a lot of blowouts, right? Honest to God, I'm not sure there was a close game in the bunch. And because of that, maybe we'll get some better games in this following round. But there was one thing that continued to happen, because I get it. People want to point out all these scores and nonsense. You sound stupid if you try to tell me this team didn't deserve to be in the playoffs because they got their ass kicked. That's not how playoffs work. Like, just straight up. It's not how they work. And because they're selected and not earned their spot in your mind, even though they did earn it, you seem to think that there's this alternate universe in which Alabama would have made it a closer game, so they deserve to be in. No, Alabama lost to 2-6-6 teams. They did not deserve to be in. You cannot promise me that Alabama wouldn't have gotten its ass kicked. And just in the hypothetical world in which the universe is, SMU is out, or Indiana's out, or Clemson won their conference, not them, but and Alabama's in, and the game is two touchdowns closer, and you're like, see? It is a. This is the thing about college football that I think college football fans have failed to accept about this. College football is a sport built on blowouts. The whole sport is designed that way. You're more likely to win by 30 than to win by 7 in that sport. So when you see teams who are ranked 3 in the country or 5 in the country beat teams 13 in the country by 3 or 4 touchdowns sometimes, that's just a result. That does not mean that that team did not deserve to be in the playoff, or we should have just stuck in random SEC team in instead. Because it's always SEC or Big Ten, by the way. No one's ever making this argument that the, you know, Colorado deserved to be in the Big 12 because they would have made it a better game or they'd have made it more entertaining. I don't understand this logic with the college football playoff. And it's the only the college football playoff that we do this for. If a baseball team gets swept in 3 games, we don't say, see, sure wish it was the other team in the playoffs because you earn your spot. Clemson, SMU, Indiana, they earn their spot based on the parameters set. Even if it's just win-loss, they had less losses than Alabama. So, like, what point of this is frustrating you? Has the college football playoff stunk so far? Yeah. I'd work on the competitive balance part of college football before I'd worry that SMU didn't deserve in. Because this is more of a, there is no competitive balance in football. You actually didn't need any more than the 4 teams if you wanted the best team to win the championship, because they were always one of the 4 teams you put in, which is the identical result we're getting now. The 4 best teams all year in college football were Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State, and honestly, probably Texas. All 4 of those teams are still alive. Okay. So, great. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Other than you didn't get a competitive first round. The hope is that eventually the college football playoff will produce an upset. Maybe this week, Georgia, Notre Dame, but I don't even know if that's an upset if their starting quarterback's not going to play. That feels like it lands in the same range. But it's like pretending like the flaw with the sport doesn't take place. But on the other end, there's nothing. It doesn't make any sense.
And to the notion of these teams don't deserve to be there, and you're absolutely right, Cody, is they earned it. It's a collection of the season. It's a collection of wins or losses throughout the entire season. It's not just one game. It's not, oh, well, they would have been a better competitor against, you know, SMU or than SMU because Alabama lost. In their collection of games throughout the season, they were not good enough to get into the playoffs. Every team that's in the playoffs this year absolutely deserved it.
Yes. I just don't understand. I don't want to do this with you every year. Like, not you, just the collective you. Every year, I don't want us to argue about. There's 12 teams. If you can't be one of the 12 best teams, I'm sorry. You didn't deserve to be in over SMU because you couldn't be the 12th best team in college football. 12th? Like, I'm sorry, Alabama. You have every conceivable advantage in your favor in the sport. You get the top recruits. You have the most NIL money to spend. You get the advantage of playing in the SEC, which is going to give you every added advantage to getting you into the college football playoff. Other than playing a more difficult schedule, you have no advantage. And to that point, you chose a different thing. You chose to play a worse non-con schedule than SMU. That might have been the deciding factor about why you got in or you didn't. I hate and it's going to get worse because of the 12 teams. We don't have to do this. It's the same as arguing bubble teams in college basketball. I'm sorry you weren't the 68th best team, and instead you were the 69th. Win a game more. Don't lose to bad opponents if you're Alabama. Losing, or even losing bad, getting your ass kicked, does not mean you didn't deserve to be in the college football playoff. When we come back, our guy Nate Taylor over the Athletic, he'll join us to talk Chiefs football next.